Say, Lord Jesus, I certainly need ears.
I certainly need ears.
And eyes.
And eyes.
To see and hear.
To see and hear.
What your plan is.
What your plan is.
For me.
For me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard a word actually yesterday morning. And it was, I am the Christ in the earth. And I shared a little bit of that earlier because it was bouncing out of my mouth again. And he said to me, write it down. I am the Christ in the earth. Then he kind of underlined, I am the Christ in this earth. I said, Lord, what are you getting at? This earth. This earth suit is full of the Christ. And of course, then Linda, of course, comes with this incredible revelation that the Christ is getting bigger. Now, I didn't call her this week. Sometimes I do, but this week I didn't. Correct? But the Holy Ghost is on the job. Amen? All right. When I was at Grace Church, many times Pastor Gino would share about the coming latter rain. The latter rain comes in abundance. It's the former and the latter as one unit. Covering what? Covering what?
The earth.
The earth. Now, one of you had a vision of the globe.
Yes.
Yeah. You see the coordinates? What you don't know is somebody anointed me this morning and gave me that word again. So it's coming.
Mm-mm.
It's almost here. But you've got to stop thinking of yourself as one individual. Because you're not one individual. You are a corporate Christ. So what happens to your neighbor happens to?
Us.
Yes, we are one. I believe the miracle with Erica is a part of the response that the Holy Spirit tested us a few weeks before. Will you be one or will you be separate? Will you be my body or will you be individuals? And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you there's a war going on. And that war wants to put you in the corner behind whatever. Covering your head over with a blanket, maybe crying in your pillow, feeling sorry for who? Yeah. And while you're there, you'll never mature and grow in that corporate body. So what he was pushing me to make me see, he said, I am the Christ in you, Kim. So close your eyes for a second. Say, I'm learning that the Christ is in me. Even if my soul rebels against it. So I want to be sure that you're on the job, Lord.
I want to see you
in myself,
operating
and doing signs and wonders as I obey the visions you give me and the dreams that you give me
and the
words of knowledge that you give me instead of my great wonderful self being in control. Where I used to live.
Where I used to live.
But I don't live there anymore.
The Christ is alive in me.
Hallelujah. So I'm taking you to Galatians chapter 2.
Are you ready? Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, of course, notice that they're perfect, know that a man is not justified by observing the law. So we've learned that. But by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ. So you're justified by faith in Christ. Amen? And not by observing the rules and the regulations of the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Is that what your Bible says? If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the Anointed One is living where? In me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. I don't live because evidence is there, or by my perfect actions and reactions, which the law demands. But I live it by faith. I believe that the Christ is alive in me. Now that's Kim's version. And in the Son of God, who loved me. Now notice, if you look at the word that was given earlier, it specified that Jesus loved me in Revelation chapter 1. Do you believe it? Or is it a part-time love according to the rules that you think you're keeping? See, I'm trying to show you how we are still pushing buttons to keep the law, to keep ourselves in a love relationship, and it's not a faith action at all. But the scripture says it's a faith action. I'm believing and receiving that love that he gave me by faith. Not because I did it all right. Back it up a little bit. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Who's the me, myself, and I here? It's all the things that we believed about trying to be good, trying to get good. That's not what the scripture is saying. It's a choice to walk in faith. Amen? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, it's written, but do we believe it? Do we accept it as truth for ourselves? The life I live in the body, I live by faith. The life I live in this body, I live by faith, not by works. Got it? In the Son of God. See, I live by the faith that he has, and he is the Son, and he loves me. And gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So I pondered on that this morning. And I said, Holy Spirit, how do I get through? Because I'm having a hard time convincing myself. Because I got this mind, will, and emotions that is pondering over all these details. And this truth is written for me. So do I truly believe
that the Christ is in this earth. This earth. The me part first. Before we can overwhelm the earth, meaning the whole earth, the globe, we need to believe it for number one first. I remember years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, and when you're living on earth, you need an earth suit. So look at your neighbor, say, your earth suit,
is filled
with the anointed one.
Whether
you like it or not,
that's the facts. According to his word.
Not your emotions.
So I am the Christ in this earth. Yes. Try it on. I am the Christ in this earth. If you remember, Abraham wanted to know who he was. He said, my name is? His name is?
I am.
I am. Watch, I am the Christ. I am the anointed one in this earth. We're really saying God is working inside of me, touching the earth. And it touches this earth before it touches the globe.
I'm shaking your boots. Sorry. I had to have him shake mine first. So you're not off the hook yet. You're not off the hook. Ezekiel 36:27. This is a prophetic word that was given to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
Now, if you look at the reality of this prophetic word, you will become a law keeper by being obedient to what the Holy Ghost is doing inside of you. And it's going to be done by faith.
Amen? Oops, I touched a few buttons there, right? I'm going to touch a few more. John 14:17. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In John 17, Jesus is predicting that the Holy Ghost is going to be inside of his followers. Close your eyes for a second. Say, I'm believing that the same Holy Spirit who came to Jesus and settled in him when he was baptized in the Jordan. He came to live in me. When God accepted to release his Son in me so that I can declare, I am the Christ in this flesh. Going to hit you harder, Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of, by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Notice it's an if, so it makes it conditional. Can you reject the Holy Ghost and overrule him by going with your mind, will, and emotions?
Sure.
Anytime
you can do that. It doesn't feel right, so I'm going to go by what feels good today.
Amen.
If you've been there, you've also been in deception. Whenever you overrule what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, you outsmart the Holy Ghost. You're really outsmarting him. And I've done it. Lord, I really can't do this today. I just don't have it in me. I should have said, God, put me what? In a right state of mind.
I'm going in the wrong direction right now. I'm hurting. But pour grace into me so I can change it. If he pours grace into me, what happens? The Christ becomes alive in me again. How quickly he can make everything right when I simply ask for help. Pretty cool, huh? So Romans 8, 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, are you ready for a bombshell? He does not belong to the Christ. He does not belong to Christ. Can anyone overrule the Anointed One? That includes me. And I do it because I go by my old patterns without even realizing it. And I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm saying we need to pray for each other. Praying will what? Transform us. Praying and interceding for each other and forgiving ourselves for being in a focus of what I want and when I want it, rather than submission to his plan. Amen? Ooh, that was a hard one. Try it on. Say, I can do this by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. This is another promise. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives? Where? Oh, really? Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? It's confirmed in 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Timothy 1:14. Next verse.
What was that?
1 Corinthians 6:19 and 2 Timothy 1:14. They both confirm that you are the temple. So the Jews are trying to build a new temple, right? In Jerusalem, are they thinking about building a new temple? Have they made all these preparations? Have they set aside even a red heifer? And everybody gets so excited in the church because there's been a red heifer found. And they write books. And they make lots of money out of your fear that an Antichrist is coming. They haven't identified him yet. That Antichrist is the anti-anointing of the Holy One that lives in you. And when it's shut out, the Antichrist has done his work. The anti-anointed are those who are living under the law by the rules of man and by the rules of God, using it as an excuse not to give him all the glory. You can take that one to the bank. 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27. This one, you can take a deep breath because it's a little difficult to swallow. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you. What? His anointing is capable of? About all things. And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. That corporate Christ is going to get bigger when these that have been chosen by him to obey the Holy Ghost and connect each other as one unit before Father, you're going to see a magnificent change. And it's not going to happen to you individually. It's going to happen to you corporately. Corporately. The corporate body of Christ is just starting to awaken to this truth. And we're part of that. How many can feel a stirring on the inside as I'm speaking about this? Thank you. Put your hand way, way up because you need to know. Look around now. See, it's not make-believe. This is a truth that needs to go deeper inside of each and every one of us, and it starts with me. Say it. It starts with me.
It starts with me.
Not just the pastor.
Not just the pastor.
It's for me. He loves me enough. To take me higher than I've ever been before. Hallelujah. Not to change the subject, but how many of you have an iPhone? You need to know that the website, thehouseofprayer.us, has been revamped and is now available and clearly identifiable so that you can listen to the messages on your iPhone and be able to see what the words are. And I got a full report a week ago, and so you can test it out anytime. You can check back, listen to this message when it gets on there. And all the material can flip over backwards and forwards. You can get the identity, et cetera, et cetera. So we're up to date. And it'll be readable on your iPhone. So enjoy the trip. And it's got some French places in there as well as some English spaces. Okay?